Well, praise the Lord. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this morning I'd like to continue with the peace offering. I don't know exactly when I'll wrap it up. It'll either be... I'm planning on next Sunday. I don't know that for sure. I would like to plan next Sunday to be a communion service in that aspect. So, because communion is a huge part of the peace offering, huge part, and that's why I say I'm not really sure if I will, finish next week or not. I have so many thoughts and things to say and even examples about it. You know, one of the things we have to understand, if I ask this question, I have a lot of questions this morning, so be prepared. But if I ask this question, why did God have so many different offerings and all the different intricacies of them, what would your answer be? Why? Why so many different ones? Because one offering by itself could not describe who Jesus really is. We know that Jesus fulfilled every offering. But think about that in itself. All the intricacies of who he really is. Like we like to paint him with a broad stroke, one simple broad stroke, because that makes it easy for us. But the reality is he's much more complicated than we really realize. Well, how can you say that? How unsearchable are the riches of who he is. Amen? And the carnal mind cannot what? Comprehend it. Right? It takes a spiritual to be able to understand really what God is after. And so we have multiple offerings, and they all intertwine and they all work together. If you remember, we read about the peace offering. It came at the time of the burnt offering also, right? And we know there's special occasions, and we know all the reasons for that is because they're all simple, if I can use that term, descriptions of the nature and character of Christ. Amen. As easy as it seems like it can be, it's much more complicated. This is why he says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, isn't it? But it's the honor of kings to search it out. Unless you have a real understanding about being a king, or, you know, I can run around and call myself a king, right? I'm a king, I'm a king. I'm a son of a king, which will make me in line and heir to be a king, right? But if I never search out the matter, amen? I told you this. I love this. The litmus test. The real litmus test. It's not what I say. Right? It really is in accordance with the shekel of the sanctuary. You know, one of the things we know that we learned that what did men do? Men changed the way to measure things. But God never changes his weight system, does he? Because his weight system is always based upon his word. You know, we try to do away with the law in modern Christianity, but long before the majority part of what they want to do away with is what we call sacrifice, right? The animal sacrifice. But before Moses ever gave the law, they were already offering sacrifices. Remember, Adam and Eve did what? They fell. So God had, and then what did they do? They clothed themselves, so God had to bring a sacrifice, right? And then from that moment on, that man began. See, here's another thing that we have to understand, right? The one aspect of the five main offerings, even the peace offering, which we said was voluntary, right? We had three voluntary. They still associated with what? Sin. Missing the mark. In John chapter 14, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God's peace is different, isn't it? See, I have one more. I did not plan on reading that. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children or the sons of God." Now remember, Jesus said that his peace is not like the world's peace. We have this idea that if everybody just gets along, that there's going to be peace. We just had an election, right? The whole country is divided over lots of stuff. And even within their own parties, they're still divided. Now, if I use the weight of the book of James, the reason there's wars is because why? It's self-centeredness. See, God isn't even after the good of the whole. God is after the good of his purpose. Should I say that again? Because if it was for the good of the whole, we'd have democracy and then we'd vote on it. We all know how that can turn out, because if I'm not on the side that is in favor of it, then I can spend my time sabotaging it or not going along with it, or, right? This is what happens. Watch, it happens in families. It happens in churches. It happens in people. That's why I say you can have good relationships, bad relationships, but you cannot have bad fellowship. Amen. Now, if I ask you another question this morning, and I feel personally that I failed to emphasize this enough, and the proof will be right now, but what does the peace offering, what does the word peace, what is the whole idea of peace about? What's that? Rest, joy, completion, wholeness. That's what it really is about. It's about being complete and whole. I cannot have a partial relationship with God and just say, "We're at peace." I can run around thinking in my mind that everything's okay. Everything's good. And as long as it's on my terms, because God usually doesn't talk back. It's not really what he's after, is it, Beck? He's after wholeness, isn't he? He's after fullness. He's after completeness. He's not after division. He's not after any kind of separation. The whole point of the peace offering wasn't to come to make you and I feel good. Oh, I'm at ease. I'm at peace. No, he came to bring wholeness, completeness, and fullness. Watch. You know, my heart, it doesn't beat the way I like it to all the time. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's not complete. It's not whole. I tell you the truth. I've told you this. Geez, on days when it doesn't act up, I wouldn't think there's anything wrong. But on days it acts up, it lets me know that not everything is right or whole. Because true righteousness of God is wholeness, isn't it? Well, I got one, yep. I'll say it again. True righteousness of God is wholeness. And we can live in a deceptive realm, right, that says, well, Jesus came and he's my peace and he was my peace offering and my sacrifice, and never apply it in reality to our lives. As long as it's, listen, what does glory mean? It's thinking or the thought mind of God, isn't it? But the real aspect or the fulfillment of that is taking that which is in the thought mind or the heart of God and what? Manifesting it like the Word says, and the Word became flesh. Or in other words, it manifested itself in flesh. And the only, listen, when Adam and Eve fell, right? What did it do? It made a what? It made a breach. It made a separation. So therefore, there was not any longer a wholeness or a completeness in the relationship of God and man, right? And so they had to go through all this sacrificial stuff all the way from Adam all the way to Jesus. And Jesus repaired that breach and he brought that into a relationship, a fellowship between God and man. Now Jesus fulfilled his portion. Can I get an amen? How many know that the body must fulfill its portion? Wholeness, completeness. It's easier just to think that I am whole and complete and just move on. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it doesn't matter how religious that carnal mind is that I might have. If it's still not in agreement or in alignment with God, it's still carnal, isn't it? And this is why, hey, I love it that he is the shekel of the sanctuary. He is the pattern. And if we don't really understand what the pattern is all about and what the offering is all about in wholeness and completeness, just ask yourself this simple little question. Do you believe honestly that the body is in harmony with one another and him? Even if you and I, we get the vertical right, It's only half of wholeness. And most folks, think about this. You don't need to go to church today. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Hey, I'll just stay home and have church because I have a relationship with God, and that's what matters the most. It's not the thinking mind of God. It's not wholeness. It's not completeness. But this is the shekel that man has set up, thinking that he is okay. But God's after wholeness, Nathaniel. Peace. I really feel, personally, that this is really what God is wanting you and I. Listen, I said this the other night. They'll know you're my disciples by the way what? You love one another. That's the litmus test, isn't it? No partial on my terms Christianity works in God's economy. I told you this before, the divorce rate is as high in the church as it is in the world. I wonder how that plays out in wholeness and completeness. And we've turned it into it's a no big deal because everybody does it. A different shekel. A different weight system. Do you know, do you realize, I read right over a scripture, whenever we read it, like last Sunday, I think, I read right over a scripture and it didn't dawn on me or I didn't catch the concept of it. Do you know why God gave the Israelites all the commands and the offerings and the details the way they were? Because the children of Israel, like the rest of the globe, after Noah came on the scene, they were just sacrificing and doing any old thing they wanted, any old way they wanted, offering up just to whoever they wanted. And God had to bring some order to it. Watch, turn with me. I'll read the verse. This is talking about the peace offering. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 7. Wait, I think I gave you the wrong verse. I had them reverse. It's chapter 17. Sorry about that. Are you ready? Look at verse 7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifice unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. So in other words, they were just offering, you know, wherever, whenever. And God said, hey, I need to bring some order to it. This is why, you know, this is me personally. I don't know if you found this to be the case for you. But the more and more I read, I realize how many things are connected, or it makes it's much more illuminated about the offerings in the rest of the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And the real reason, if we really understand the whole purpose of the offerings, it has to do with the two fundamental reasons why they offered. It was acceptance. An approach, right? You had to offer. And that God wanted us to be holy or separate unto Him and not out in the field or wherever I decide I want to be and offer my offering. Does it make sense? Are you all right? Now, I don't have a lot of time to do all this, but I'm just going to talk. When God started creating and He made Adam, you remember? You remember this? I have a question. In biblical terms, which is the weight, right? Give me an example of the highest order for wholeness or completeness in the human body, human people. Human family is what I meant to say. Am I making sense? No? You don't know what I'm asking. We have human beings, right? Okay, let me rephrase. I'm making you think. What did I say the peace offering's about? Wholeness or completeness, right? So if it's about wholeness and completeness, give me what you think is the highest order in the human race of what is an example of wholeness or completeness, ready, in relationship. I have to throw that in there. Marriage. Because doesn't God even use marriage as a what? An example about a relationship or fellowship between what? God and man. Do you remember when God created Adam? Right? And what did God do? God, let's see if we can find it. I know. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. I'll just take my time. Genesis chapter 2, are you there? Are you all right? Okay. He tells them about eating of the tree. You can eat it freely. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." So now picture this. God says, "Adam, here, sit down right here on your throne. And I'm going to bring all the animals to you. And you're going to name them." And now if you have a mental thought of how God brought the animals to Noah, how did he bring them? He brought them in pairs primarily, with some exceptions, right? But he brought them in pairs, both what? Male and female. Didn't he? And the reason for that was so that he could show that he was going to bring a unity of oneness, of wholeness, of completeness in his creation. And when he got done, When he was finished in naming all the Mr. and Mrs., he looked around and he realized he was alone. Well, wait a minute. He had God, so he wasn't alone. Anybody ever voice that before besides me? It's only half the equation. I don't need anybody else. I have God. I'm going slow so we can think about it. He looked around, Steve. And he understood the heart and the thought of God by what he was looking at in the creation. And he realized that even though he had not fallen or sinned yet, he was still incomplete. Now, does anybody think that I'm talking about you just need to run out and get a spouse? I'm not talking just about that. That's not even the concept here. Because if I bring it over into a New Testament reality, we find out that the bride is the church. And it's a multi-member that, watch this, gets along. Because when my heart doesn't get along with the rest of the members of my body, then everything else is in chaos or discord. And we can see the expression of that in marriages. No matter how much we think they're normal and okay. Because God wants to bring more than just a vertical. He's after a completeness and a wholeness of his people. Can you hear what God's saying to us today? I can't be part-time. I can't have it on my terms. My relationship with God and his people must be full time. It's not 30%. It's not 60%. Because if I'm 30-fold, right? I've accepted the Passover, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. That's only a 30-fold realm. Some folks will think it's 100-fold, but it's only 30. And if I get filled with the Spirit and baptized in fire and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost in fire, and I'm able to express even the realms of the Spirit, it's still only 60%. Is that wholeness yet? Is that fullness? Completeness? What's the peace offering about? See, God brought peace when he accepted, right, the offering of Jesus for you and I. He became our peace offering. He is our peace. And in order for that peace to be applied to our lives, it's more than just me saying, I accept it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall what? Be called the sons or children of God. Can you have false truth? No. Can you have false peace? Come on. You ever meet people? They'll be nice and kind to you just to get what they want. They can smooth talk you till the cows come home. I'll bet if we are all honest, we've even applied that aspect ourselves. Well, I'm just going to, you know, I need to get this, so I'm going to. It's like the miser, isn't it? Hey, eat, enjoy everything I have, but inside. Uncle Terry, you know why we don't have peace and wholeness like he wants? The Bible says, let no man think of himself more highly than he ought to. And the thing that God really hates the most is pride and arrogancy. See, we think pride and arrogancy is because you're loud. Do you realize you can be as quiet as a mouse and inside be saying, I don't give a hoot what you say. I know what I believe. I grew up in church. I know how people function. I've even done it. But that in itself shows us how divided. Oh, by the way, can I ask you a question? Where does God look? I'm not trying to be mean now. But we had a young man come Wednesday night, right? And if, you know, we all sat, we talked, we heard. But if you really listen, if you really listen, listen not to words. Most people judge words and they have a hard time judging spirit. You can't grow up in a church and then all of a sudden say, hey. This is why we have people that they're just fish changing tanks. You know, we have a fluid relationship mentality, don't we? If it just doesn't work out the way I think it should, I just shift gears and move on. Whether it's in marriages, whether it's in, listen, siblings and parents, children relationships, church relationship, work relationships, all relationships are fluid. And the reason is a lack of, watch this, commitment to the heart of God. You know, I had my evaluation at work this week, and I seriously was super convicted when my boss wrote number one on the list, character. He has integrity. Geez, I can only think about some of the places I don't have integrity. It's not that I'm a bad person. Well, maybe I am. But my point is and I don't walk around living in condemnation, but I know, and I'm trying to always be honest with myself and with God and with you, that I'm after completeness and wholeness. Because without that kind of life, I will really never have full, complete peace with God and man. Woo! Are you all right this morning? Do you remember this? The thing in this offering here, this is the only offering that the offerer got to partake of the offering. But he still had to bring it with an acknowledgement. I know we're not going to like this statement, that he understood that he was a sinner, but not a sinner in the sense that he was an unbeliever, but that he still was short of completeness. Here's what we've done in the church. We've brainwashed people. Don't ever say to yourself, you're a sinner. Only think positive thoughts. And it's all been psychological. And it's never affected God one bit. But you know what's worse than that? It hasn't affected them either. It's been psychological. Think right. Be positive. These are all the things we have in the world. Counterfeits. Didn't Paul warn us that they will creep into the church and what? Do you know how we find out, Corey, that it's always psychological? The litmus test of our character and the way we act. I find out every time somebody frustrates me on the road, I'm not as complete as I think I am. And I can poo-poo it and say, hey, it's no big deal. But it really is when you're talking about the shekel of the sanctuary being at peace. And being at peace just doesn't mean calm. Let me tell you, when Jesus was taking a beating and they were nailing him, he was at peace. Why was he at peace? Because he was fulfilling not his will, but the Father's will. Ha! That's real peace, isn't it? Because he knew, right? Didn't he know this? Didn't he really know this? That really, can I say it like this? I don't know. Maybe I'm stepping over my bounds. But he was having a marriage ceremony because he was about to marry a bride. A church, wasn't he? And I think the consummation, if I can use these illustrations, is the day he poured out his spirit and all of a sudden he started producing children. What good does it do us, Nathaniel? Seriously, my son. If we're able to quote, you and I, we can sit and talk. The one thing I really appreciate my son here, you know, my kids, they always tell me I have favorites, but they just don't understand each one's a favorite in their own way. But he's my only sports child. And he reminds me a lot of me, statistically, always remembering. We can't ever remember anything, but we could remember stuff we want. I used to call it useless trivia. It really is, right? But it's enjoyable, isn't it? It is. But it'll never make us complete, will it? What three things were we taught that we've learned the reason God created to begin with, especially the human family? That God wants a what? Family for himself. A family for himself. Doesn't he? Isn't that what he's after? A family for himself. And I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a daddy. And let me tell you, fathers want their children to be just like them. Now in God's economy, his children must be what? Holy, righteous. And fill in all the other blanks because there's so many characteristics that I don't have time this morning. Do you realize that when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice, long before the law ever showed up, that it says that Abel brought a blood sacrifice and the fat? The fat. Who got the fat? The Lord. He gets the best parts, doesn't he? The choice parts. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord this morning? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Now, verse 24, are you ready? Let's back it up. Verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Hallelujah. You shall not make with me, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto me, unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon the what? Burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, the sheep, the ox, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Did you hear that? So they had to bring their peace offerings, their burnt offerings, on an altar of what? Earth. On an altar of earth. And they couldn't make gods of silver and gods of gold, which we know those are just gods of your own doing. Right? Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. I want to point something out here about the peace offering. All right? Once again, what's a peace offering about? Wholeness and completeness, right? Jesus fulfilled the peace offering. He made things complete. He repaired the breach. It was now connected again. I have a question for you. Can the breach be broken? It's a trick question. No, it cannot. Now, me as an individual, I can cut myself off. But God repairing the breach between God and man through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you that God will have what He has declared He will have. Watch this. Adam fell and made a breach. How much greater is the breach repairer than one that could break it again? It's greater. So there's no more need to worry about whether man can ever be separated from God. It's impossible. Now, I know people will take this as a total reconciliation message that would say, I now can do whatever I want and God will accept me. Well, read other parts of the book to make it complete. Right? See, listen to me. Watch. How many different denominations do you think we have worldwide? And I'll just say in Christianity. Is that because we're complete and whole? I'm willing to bet, personally, this is just me. You do not have to agree with me. I'm willing to bet most folks that have a church or are leaders of church are self-anointed and self-appointed. Or it's been done, watch this, by democracy instead of theocracy. I believe it. See, we live in a day and age, I work with a lot of Christians and I talk to them. And I mean, unless they told me they were Christians, I wouldn't even know half the time. Because usually speech betrays. And you know what we do? We make people feel guilty. If we say, geez, why do you talk like that? What, are you being religious? That's the response. God is after completeness and wholeness. Man cannot break the gap or build a gap again between God and man. If you think it's true, even in the Old Testament economy, no matter how bad Israel became and stopped listening, that God was still pointing till the day that Jesus became the sacrifice, that he was satisfied. And now he looks forward into time, that he sees a people. Watch, we read it the other day, whether male or female, whosoever will. This is a voluntary thing. You do not have to participate. I really believe this with all my heart. Every person that says they don't have to go to church and still can have a relationship with God, it's true they can, but they never can become complete. I always liked what Brother Varner said. If you don't ever want to be hurt, because that's what people are, they'll hurt you, right? He used to always say this, don't get married, don't have children, and don't ever be a pastor of a church. And I'm sure we could add more things in the line. But the reason all those aspects of life are in existence is so that we can learn how to express, manifest the characteristics of God in his peace. And oh, by the way, peace isn't just giving someone something they want all the time. No, peace is what God wants. Peace is who God is. So therefore, it must always line up to him. It's not good enough for me to say, well, the Lord says. Jeez. All right, are you ready? So this is now, this is because we read in Leviticus, right? They were out in the field and they were in the wilderness and they were all, listen, do you remember in Proverbs chapter, I think 7, remember she said, I've offered my peace offerings. I've paid my vow. But she had a problem, didn't she? Whew. That's my mind. That's the church. As long as we have religious activity, we think it's spirituality. Verse 1, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think they did? I believe they believed it. But if we keep reading in the Bible, we find out that they didn't do it. Right? Because none of these folks made it into the land. I remember Corey's message, right? Two of Aaron's sons were up there with them, right? And then they didn't even make it out of the, right? But they believed that they would do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have to believe. Because if you don't believe you can, you're already in trouble, aren't you? So you have to believe. I mean, you can believe that you're going to pass that test, but until you take it, right? And see what the teacher grades it. The weight of the classroom makes a big difference, huh? This is why he said, they'll come and they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And the interesting thing about all of that, when he gets said and done, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never had a real relationship or fellowship with you. peace. They believed they would do it, right? Will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar. Remember, we just read about it. He built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you use stones, you couldn't use stones that were carved. You've read that before, right? And you know why they couldn't be carved, right? It had to be fresh out of the field the way God makes things. Ha, you'll get that. All right? And he sent young men, here we go. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these people. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in clearness. And upon the nobles, listen to this verse, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. Communion, fellowship. Listen, they couldn't see God before because why? They would die. Now it's interesting, the writer of the Hebrews says no one will see God unless they have what? Holiness. And the only way you can really be holy is if you have complete, full communion with Him. Watch. Have you seen God? We get images when we read the Bible, and the Spirit does talk to us, and we walk by faith and not by sight. But we've not yet come to that place. Jeez, Stephen was at peace when he said, Father, forgive them, didn't he? And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Peace. They did eat and drink. I really believe this is a picture or a type of the communion table that God was about to set forth when Jesus sat with the apostles, the disciples, where they did eat and drink. And he didn't lay a hand on them, did he? He repaired the breach. Because God wants wholeness, completeness. God was angry with man, so to speak. But yet in the same token, he was happy with man. He blessed them. He didn't wipe them all out. He didn't wipe all of man out. He left 8 in an ark. Oh, by the way, what was one of the first things Noah did when he got out of the ark? He built an altar And he brought what? He brought animals to sacrifice. Now, I'm thinking, geez, maybe some of them animals had a lot of babies, because if he just took the only two and then he sacrificed them, then he wouldn't have anything. So some time took place from my point of view, just, you know, using logic, and whether that's real or not, I don't know. But the Bible says that he offered up animals, didn't he? But you know what's really interesting after that? Then he gave Noah the animals for food to eat. Fellowship. Dinner time. The meal. The communion table. Dinner at the family table. At one time in this country, that was important. Was not anymore. Do you think that if we did that, that we'd have better fellowship with God? No. But I do believe it says something about the condition of our lives. Think about this. When you sit down and have a meal, whether it's at home or it's in the restaurant, what's the first thing that we do? We hold hands and we do what? We give thanks. So it's only a 30-fold portion thanking God for what he has provided for us. It's still not totally complete, is it? But if I can't even offer that up to him, I've missed one aspect of the fellowship that he desires. Watch this. I'm holding God's hand through you. Watch. If you do it to them, you've done it to me. See, we want to always put that in the hukamashai realm, right? Let me lay my hand. No. See, when I lay hold of you, I don't know about you, but I've heard stories, and they're just stories, but I'll tell you what, I've met some of the people that the Holy Ghost just breaks out at the dinner table. You ever have a hukamashai just inside of you when you touch, pray? Because you're touching God. Fellowship. You know, it's one of my biggest fears.